So a number of years ago, I began reading a book called The Strangest Way. And The Strangest Way, it's about how peculiar the Christian faith can be at times. And the author, he began this book by highlighting a true story. In the early 1990s, a number of Buddhist monks came to a monastery in Kentucky. And there, these Buddhist monks met with some Catholic monks. And they took some time just to talk about just their faith journey, their idea, the way that they lived out kind of their monastic life. Because there's a lot of overlap in between the two. You know, both the Buddhists and the Catholics, they live a life of celibacy. They embrace poverty. They live just a very, very simple life. And so over the course of the week, they discussed, you know, how they would pray. They discussed what their daily routine would be. However, one of the Buddhist monks, after walking around the monastery for all these days, there was something that was gnawing at him, something that was driving him absolutely crazy. One day, just when they were kind of having, you know, one of their discussions in between the two, this monk, he bursts out, hand goes shooting up in the air, and he says, "Listen, you know, I appreciate what's going on. I appreciate your faith. There's one thing I don't understand about you. That's the cross. Why? Why is the cross everywhere? I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand your God. He died for sins, and because of that sacrifice he made, all of a sudden now you as Catholic Christians, you believe that now eternal life is open to you. I get that. But why? Why put it all over the place? Why highlight an instrument of torture?" Because he says, you know, see, for us Buddhists, the whole purpose of religion is to do away with suffering. Like this idea of nirvana is finding this perfect peace, this perfect happiness, this perfect bliss. So why? Why do I see this all over the place? For us as Catholics, I mean, again, for us, we're not just satisfied with the cross. We have the corpus on there. We have Jesus hanging on the cross. Why? It is strange. I mean, I would imagine that we have, you know, that we, in our homes, I know in my room itself, I have three crucifixes, two in my office. You go over into the school, it's all over the place. I'm wearing a cross, a crucifix on my very person right now. And you see, we might miss this here in the 21st century, but that was the Roman equivalent of the electric chair. So why don't we put the electric chair in our houses? Why? Why would we highlight an instrument of torture, an instrument of suffering? Like this Buddhist monk, he couldn't figure it out. I mean, our faith, it is strange. It's one of the strangest ways indeed. And so, you know, as I was praying with especially the second reading that we hear from St. Paul this week, this story, it came back into my mind. Why the cross? Why do we highlight this instrument? Because St. Paul, in our second reading today, he says that he was given a thorn in his side. It was given to him. Right? We give gifts. So this thorn, this thing that nagged at him, he saw that as a gift from God. He saw that as something that allowed him to grow closer to our Lord. You see, my friends, I think this is a reading that we all can identify with. I'm sure every single one of us right now has a thorn in their side. Every single person to a varying degree. You know, for some people right now, it might be a colleague at work. A colleague at work who absolutely drives you crazy. Maybe it's one of your kids who's just you know, again, it's something that's just enough of a prick to drive you crazy. Maybe it's a spouse. You know, maybe it's a physical ailment. Every single person in here is dealing with some thorn in their side, as St. Paul speaks of today in the second reading. And for all of us, at some point in our life, we will have that serious thorn. That thorn that we pray, as St. Paul did three times, begging for the Lord to take it from us. Lord, do away with this. You know, maybe it's a serious sickness that a family member has. Maybe it's the death of a family member. We say, Lord, why? Why do you inflict me with this thorn? Can't you just make it go away? Like I said, with St. Paul, we beg him to take it away. But just as God answered St. Paul's prayer in one of the most unexpected ways, he does the same for us. He tells us, I'm not going to remove this thorn from you. But rather, as he tells St. Paul, my grace is sufficient. He says, I'm not going to take it away, but rather what I'm going to do is I am going to give you the grace. I'm going to give you my divine gift to be able to endure and ultimately conquer this. My friends, I hate that response. I hate when God tells me that. Can't you just take it away? Why? Why do I have to endure this? Why do I have to push through? Wouldn't it just be easier if you just made my life perfect? But God doesn't work that way. Again, there's nothing wrong with us petitioning as St. Paul does. You know, as he says, he asked three times. He prayed fervently in his prayer that thorn would be taken away. But again, if that's all we're doing in prayer, that's only half the story. The other half is to listen for the response. Because sometimes, like St. Paul realized, our Lord, he can work through those thorns. You know, and if we can listen, if we can pray, right, if we can listen for the response of God, we might see that there's providence behind those ailments or those things that drive us crazy. Maybe God is working through those. Because as St. Paul, as he goes on to say, he says, for me, I find my power in weakness. You know, and to the secular world, they say, what a load of baloney. Find my power in weakness. What does that even mean? How on earth can we find power in the weaknesses of our life? What on earth could that possibly mean? But you see, my friends, you know, for us, when things are going well in our life, we like to think that we have life all under control. And not only that, but we like to think that we are the ones who are the source of that control. We're the reason. You know, listen, we're God's gift to earth here. You know, of course everything's fine. Because, you know, God gave the world this great gift of myself. Right? Our egos can kind of get in the way. But we know that when things are going badly, it's the exact opposite. We never look to ourselves first as the problem. But rather we think, God, where are you? Could really use your help here. So there's times where I believe that our Lord, that he has to permit those thorns in our side. So that way we can make room for our ego. So that way the grace of God can radiate through us. You know, in fact, the opening steps of the 12-step program, anyone who's familiar with it for addiction recovery, those opening steps are just understanding that me, my own very person, I am powerless over whatever this ailment is that has a grip on my life. Right? It's saying that it's turning to a higher power. It's saying that no, me as an individual, I can't do anything. It's only with the help and the grace of God that I'll be able to get over this. And sometimes that's the only way that God can break into our lives, that he can break through our egos, is by first allowing that thorn in our flesh. Allowing that ailment to drive us crazy. And so what does this reading mean for us? What do we do with this? I think what St. Paul is trying to tell us is that we need to see the world the way that he learned to see it. We need to see the world through this lens in which we understand that God is the one who is in control of everything, that it's through God's providence that he allows these ailments, these sufferings to manifest themselves. Right? And that it's through this, it's through that very weakness that we truly find power. Because my friends, need not forget, the most powerful image that we have ever seen is that right there. It is our Lord. It's God himself allowing himself to be succumbed to the sin, to the evil of this world. And you see, that is power. Because God, he was able to manifest that weakness and transform that into the most authentic power that we've ever seen. Lest we forget, the cross. The cross was the thorn in the side of our Lord. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, may this pass from me. I don't want to do this." But just as St. Paul learned from him, he says, our Lord said, "Not my will, but your will be done. Father, I trust in your providence. I trust that this thorn that will be inflicted in me, that this will be the way in which your grace will ultimately be bestowed on this world." My friends, this week, let's strive to take a look at what those thorns are in our side. And let's strive to see it the same way that St. Paul did. Let's strive to see the providence of God, how God is looking to shape us, to make us stronger through those thorns. Because as St. Paul tells us, it is in our weakness that we truly find strength. St. Paul, he had one of my favorite lines, and it's in his letter to the Galatians. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me." And you see, St. Paul, he didn't mean that in some figurative way. He meant that literally. He says, "Me, I conformed my life to the cross. Right? I allowed my ego to die with his. So now it's no longer me who lives, but rather it's Christ who lives through me." My friends, this week, may we allow that to enter into our lives. May we allow the providence of God to transform us so that we too can live that life of grace. My friends, there's no way of getting around it. Our faith as Catholics, Christians, is one of the strangest things that you will ever find. This idea that weakness is power, that the instrument of the cross is the most powerful thing we will ever find. To the world, we seem nuts. But again, that, my friends, is true power. So the question is, do we allow those thorns in our side to harm us, or do we allow them to strengthen us? My friends, this week may that be our prayer. May we find strength in the one who appears weak to the world.